Sunday. I appreciate Brother Sam preaching to us, Brother Randy teaching that fabulous lesson, and all the preaching Brother Darrell's done. In fact, I've asked him through this next month to at least take one service on Sunday. I'll take one, he can take one, and I don't know if I don't want to push it. Y'all kept telling me not to push it. And so I thought that might be a wise thing. And so I hope that you'll be patient with me on that. And in due time, the Lord will let me get over this. And if not, then he'll show me whatever else ought to be done. In the book of Proverbs, if you'll take your Bible there in chapter 2, it's already on good. Thank you very much. You're able to stand. Let's look in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 2. Now, it's been good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And you meet a lot of people up and down the road of life. And some of them are in a bad way, and most of them that just simply need the Lord. A lot of them think they've got it all figured out, you know, in the flesh. But let me tell you, flesh cannot please God. And whatever you determine is going to be all right, better have a chapter, book, and a verse from the Bible. And if it doesn't, then it's not going to stand up in the right in the sight of God. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 2, now look if you will, please, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, in other words, if you want something from God and you'll go after it as much as you do silver, searches for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And then notice, if you will, as we'll skip down there in about verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, and from the man that asketh, that speaketh froward thing, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. You know why people like darkness rather than light? Their deeds are evil. They think nobody can see them if they can't see what's going on. Bible said, who rejoiced to do evil. Now, if you're saved tonight, you rejoice in the fact that you can do good. But this world rejoices in the fact they do evil. They delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked. You ever meet anybody crooked? And notice in verse 16, the Bible said, he's going to deliver thee from the strange woman. That's a religious entity, by the way. And he said, even from the stranger with flattery with the words. You know what makes a strange woman of religion? Why people flock to that? She's telling them exactly what they want to hear. She's offering them exactly what they want to have, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. And he said, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, and neither take they hold of the paths of life. You know what that's saying? You get involved in that, it'll carry you past the point of no return. Then he said, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of them. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it, and how good that it is once again to be in the house of God, standing behind the holy desk and speaking thy word. I pray that thou you'd bless every heart that's here tonight, and be with those that could not be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I don't want to take a long time tonight, but I hope we'll have a good time in the Lord. I want to preach a little while on the right person, the right path, and the point of no return. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, we live in a world that operates by their feeling. They operate by their emotion. Somebody's kind to them and good to them. It doesn't matter that they're a heretic or preaching heresy. They just like somebody that's got a kind word or action toward them. I got to say to you that if it feels good, they say, just go ahead and do it. That's all emotion. But the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Did you notice here that he started out with a man in the beginning, and by the time he got to the past, the point of no return, he found out you may go after that flattery, you may listen to that strange woman, you may let her take you with her eyelids and flattery lips, but I got to tell you, the end's going to show up, and it's just going to be another way of death. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that this is religion with a lifeless notion. Now, if you think about that for just a minute, a lot of people, you can tell they don't have the touch of God, the power of God, the witness of God. My witness, God said, I bear witness with your witness that we are children of God. You know, it don't take long talking to somebody. A few minutes, somebody say, well, you can't know. You can't judge me and tell me. I can talk to you a minute or two. The Bible said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I can talk to you a few minutes. You know, I've talked to people before and they say, well, when did you get saved? When I was five? No, you didn't. No such thing as that. No such thing in this. You couldn't find that with a laser beam and 10 flashlights. No such thing as that in the Bible. If you're going to get saved, you've got to have an understanding that you were born a sinner and who you are, and God is now singling you out and knocking on your heart's door. Now, I don't say that because that I don't want people to get saved at five. I'm just telling you because they can't get saved at five. I've had preachers that got up, and I thought really were saved, but you talk to them a little bit, they got saved, and they're 5, 6 years old. I said, hold it a minute now. I believe you're saved, but you didn't get saved then. You just don't know when you got saved. I mean, that's going to have to be that. I'm going to tell you right now, here's how you can tell if you're saved. If you're saved, you're hungry for the Word of God. If you're saved, you're thirsty for the things of God. If you're saved, you're concerned about people that are lost. You're here tonight, and you got a mama that's lost, you're concerned about her. You got a daddy lost, you're concerned. You got a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a grandpa, a grandma. If you're saved, God automatically puts it in you to be concerned about those that are connected with your family. Now, you've got family, I know, like I've got family, and some of them are lower than well, Dookie, but that don't mean that I don't want to see them get saved. I mean, I'd like to see them get saved. I've just about given up on a whole lot of them. I don't think they're going to. I think somehow or another that they're not in the right path, but if they ever could have been now, they're at the path of point of no return. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that you'll find that religion without God is a lifeless notion. That's all it is. Number one, I want to talk about the right person. Now, here's the right person. The right person's one made the right choice in verse number one. If you will receive my words, God said. You know what that is? That's the words of God. Now, if you don't receive the words of God, you're none of His. But if you receive the words of God, that's the right choice. And let me tell you what it does is, the rest of your life is going to depend upon what you do with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to determine the path you're going to walk, the path you're going to take. It's going to determine the people that you're going to be accompanied with. I will tell you something. Could you imagine the night that if I went down and sat on a local bar somewhere where people knew me, they'd look at me and think, what are you doing here? What are you doing in here? I remember when you used to preach, and buddy, it just scared the absolute, make my nerves get on end. I remember when it just terrified me to no end. What are you doing here? You're not, you don't belong in here. Now, that makes you wonder about the average Baptist that can just go anywhere with anybody and yoke up, and but everything's just all right. I got to tell you something. The right person is the right path, and let me tell you something. It'll be right people that you keep a company with. Number two, I want you to see there's a real consecration. Now, in verse number two that we've already read, if you'll incline thine ear. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They come to the house of God, go through the motion, don't have one idea what the Scripture had to say from the pulpiteer that stood up and preached. I was listening Sunday morning, and of course, and Brother Randy was teaching that lesson, and I was listening and taking a few notes and this and that, and glory be unto God, I'm glad I did. They come out of Sunday school, and kids, Carlos walked up to me, and he said, what'd you learn about in Sunday school? I wanted to say, Jesus. I said, well, we learned about a woman by the name of Deborah and a man by the name of Barak. And I said, what'd you learn about? Same thing. I just said all that to be able to say this. If you're going to learn something about God, it's going to take more than just a nice, shiny, new-looking Bible. It's going to take more than the osmosis system sticking it under your arm, hoping you can absorb it. It's going to take, buddy, some time, some effort, some labor in it, asking God to hide it in your heart. You know, he said that if you'll cry for wisdom, and I mean, I'm talking about not just in a casual lay me down to sleep prayer, but I'm talking about really praying, Lord, I want to know something from the Bible. Do you realize that? Oh, that's the reason why Brother Sam used that passage the other night. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do you realize and do you know study is a laborious task? It takes a lot of labor. And let me tell you something. A fellow, by the way, made the statement one time. And in 1846, here he said, we may read the scriptures in company, but to search them, we must be alone with God. Charles Bridges said that in 1846. He's got a book on Proverbs. If you don't have it, you ought to jot it down and you ought to get it. And every time you're reading and studying from it, every time he gives you another passage at the bottom of the page, you ought to look it up. I got to tell you something right now. We can stand up, we read the scripture, but if you're ever going to learn something from God, you're going to have to spend some time alone with Him. I got to tell you that all these years, and I don't begrudge it whatsoever, I've missed a whole lot of activity and a whole lot of things and a whole lot of fun because of the fact that necessity compelled me to be able to put my nose in the book, cry out unto God, give me something to help these people that you've given me to pastor. You see that? I want to say to you that if you will, you're going to have to apply your heart. You're going to have to pray about it. You're going to have to study over it. You're going to have to do the right preparation, seeking the face of God. That means it's not a casual glance that you and I are going to have. You know, in this lesson that we're looking at, a consecrated effort, look in verse number 4, and here's what it is. He said, you're going to have to seek after it like you were seeking after silver or a hid treasure somewhere. And I'll tell you right now, that's not an easy task. Searching with all of thine heart. Jesus said, you shall find me when you search for me with all thine heart. All right, last but not least, I want to say to you that the right path is a real clear place that we might be able to walk with Him. I mean, if you're with the right people, then naturally you ought to be going the right direction. But let me tell you something. It's not guesswork. Did you notice that in verse number 9? He said, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. Listen, if you want to be clear about where you ought to be and what you ought to be doing, make no mistake about it. God will clear that matter up for you. You know, I've had people that walk down the aisle and say, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, let's not guess at it again. I know a lot of preachers that if you even give a hint that you may not know, you're having a little bit of struggle, you're having a little trouble, they're going to bow your head and repeat another prayer. And I'm going to tell you something, if you guess at it this year, you'll be guessing at it next year too. All you've got to be able to do is to be able to recognize and know that He's God. Beside Him, there's nothing else. There's none else. And a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior have never failed to meet. I want to say to you that, if you will, that not only will you understand about where you are and about yourself, you'll understand about the grace of God and the mercy of God. You'll understand where you ought to be walking, who you ought to be walking with. There's a lot of crooked people that are in the world. I don't know if you've noticed that yet or not, but there are. There's a lot of people that are crooked that are in this world that we're living in. And this Bible said, he pointed out in verse number 12, God wants to deliver us from the evil man and from the man that seeketh froward things. In other words, God wants to deliver us from those that walk in darkness. God wants to deliver us, he said, from that woman there, that's a strange woman in verse number 16, that uses flattery with her words. And let me tell you, she's forsaken the right way and gone the wrong direction. In this lesson that you're looking at, the Bible says in verse number 19, for her house, verse 18, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, and neither take they hold of the paths of life. Now here's what he's saying. Do you realize that all the Bible said the house of God's a gate to heaven? Now Jesus is a door, but the house of God's a gate to heaven. If you're not in the gate, you're not going to ever see the door and getting around the door. I want to tell you, the house of God is the gate to heaven, but her house is the gate to hell. Did you notice that? That's the Bible said that what she does is brings people that get swallowed up by that. People that get sucked into that. Do you realize? No, they never return, he said. In fact, is look, if you will, please, in verse 19. None that goeth unto her return again, neither take they the hold of the paths of life. In other words, they're content with living and going straight to hell without hope and without God. I was thinking about, you know, as I look across here, and all my son-in-laws, and I'm glad for every one of them. And I appreciate them being here. But you know, when they started coming, they was looking for a woman. They all claimed to be saved, to know the Lord. But when they showed up, they was looking for love in all the wrong places. But it wasn't too many moons down the road, buddy, God began to show up and knock on their heart's door. We had one or two along the way of life that thought, ooh, no, I'm not coming to that. And we're glad. Thank God and Greyhound, they're gone. I just said all that to be able to say this, is that, young ladies, you got to be careful when somebody comes along and will sweep you off your feet that don't care nothing about God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. You got to be careful. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist, don't you? Probably we don't have that problem here, but let me tell you what's wrong with the average Baptist and the average Baptist church. Mama's got somebody pinholed, going to try to hook up with daughter or try to hook up with her son. And so if you're not careful, you'll have to watch the beaten eyes of mama trying to get your attention. I want to tell you, I didn't just make this up. I learned that from the Bible. You got to watch it, girls. People go to telling you things in your ear, go to whispering sweet nothings. Every now and again, get close enough to maybe touch the earlobe with their lips. Remember those days, huh? Those were fun days, wasn't it? It's all right to be able to want that. But I mean, if you want to finally end up being drugged down through the wrong path until the end and you're past the point of no return, you don't end up with that. I want to say to you that, if you will, that the house of God will take you to heaven. Look in Proverbs chapter 4 as we close. In Proverbs in chapter 4, verse number 18 and verse number 19. Now, in the passages that we said, the upright's going to dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked is going to be cut off. But in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, he said, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Now, do you know, since the day you got saved, you saw the light, saw you as a sinner, saw he was the Savior, saw the salvation was for free, that it's for everlasting to those that receive it and for everyone that would. Now, I'll tell you something. When you look into that, you'll find that you didn't just stop there. You know more this year than you did when you first got saved and then when you did when last year. And if you don't know more, either you're not listening or the preacher's not saying nothing. I got to say to you that, if you will, please, and look in verse 19, "The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble." Isn't that something? You come to church time after time, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. You ought to have God knocking on your heart's door sometime along there. And when you get saved, your greatest delight is when you come to the house of God and he encourages you with another nugget that's more priceless than gold. You see what I'm talking about? Makes you happy that you know him in the free pardon of sin. I was talking about these son-in-laws, and I could talk about some of you like that, but anyhow, I just want to go ahead and point out old Brother Joe. See, you know, he's a little more reserved and all that. Great guy, so forth and all. But I remember one day he called me up and he said, "Hey, I'm gonna need to come see you." I said, come on. This is when he's living in town. But he drove all the way out to my house. And I could tell he had just broke up. What seemed to be the problem there, Joe? "I need the Lord. That's what the problem is. I mean, I need the Lord." You know, that's pretty good, isn't it? I got to say to you that, if you will, please, is that you can find him, you'll seek him, and you'll find him when you search for him with all of your heart. With all of your heart. In this lesson here tonight, let me say to you, is that the right path will have the right people on it. And if you're on the wrong path, you'll be with the wrong people, and the end of it will be past the point of no return. I've seen people get under conviction. I've preached to them sometime for years in a church, and I've watched them get under conviction. I've seen it here. Not per se among you, but I'm talking about some of our kin folks, your kin folks, and so forth and on. I've seen them get under such conviction. I've seen them grab the pew to where I thought they were going to break a chunk out of it. Instead of letting go and coming to the Lord, they just listened to a flattering religious woman and left without hope and without God. Many of them now, if you see one of them, they're defiant. They're not even tender. It doesn't bother them anymore. See? Cold, callous. That's what hearing the word and not responding and receiving it does. You don't want that. And as a result of that, you'll find that it's good to know him in the free pardon of sin. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. I want to thank you now for the liberty of God and the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct us into all the truth. Thy word is true. I pray your blessings now upon these here that'll be traveling tonight. Watch over their families. Dear God, we want to say thank you for all you've done and for all you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands.